My friends, let's turn to Psalm 8, first of all. Psalm 8, and then Hebrews chapter 2. Psalm 8, we'll read it all. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Hebrews 2, verse 5. For he is not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testifieth in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one. So it's in these verses in Hebrews that I want us to look at tonight, to see where we're going. The headings I've jotted down are: What has man lost? What great care God has for man? What Christ has done and won for us, and what man is going to gain. So let's look at those. Number one, what man has lost. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we read this. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Man was to be ruler over this world that God had created. And for a time, man delighted in being prince over God's wonderful creation. Adam and Eve enjoyed a lovely, warm fellowship with God. And we don't know how long man enjoyed that position before the devil came along and sin came into this world. It could have been months, it could have been years. We just don't know, do we, how quick the devil came to ruin God's creation. But we do know, then sin came and God's curse upon the earth. Man started to die, aging began, man became weak to the devil's temptation, man had to work hard to get food from the earth. The whole of creation was put under a curse. And it's something we find hard to believe. Sometimes we look at the beautiful things like flowers and birds and some of the animals and different things and sunsets and sunrises. Although they're getting a bit early now, sunrises, aren't they, for us? But, you know, we look at the beauty of these things and the whole of creation has been put under a curse. Animals had changed. Animals who would only eat grass and be friendly to each other became killers. Animals for man became hard to train, some impossible to train, whereas man at one time had the authority over all the animals to train them, even the big dinosaurs. Man wasn't afraid of them. But man, after the fall, had every reason to be fearful of the creatures he was once in charge of. We don't know how many times Adam and Eve had to run from a dinosaur, do we? Or lion or anything like that. But the whole thing had changed. Man was to have dominion over these animals. The air, the lion, the bear and everything. And yet now things were going in the other direction. And the devil had become prince upon this earth in place of man. Ephesians 2 verse 2 tells us the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. At one time man was prince on this earth. In the Gospels the Lord Jesus calls the devil the ruler of this world. Several times he uses that expression of the devil, the ruler of this world. Ephesians 6, 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Man, if he hadn't have sinned, wouldn't have this battle. How sick Adam and Eve must have felt that day after they had fallen. To see the whole of creation under that curse. To see animals eating each other and themselves having to run from animals like we might sometimes have to. Man had lost everything. Next, what great care God has for man. For us. In verse 6 of Hebrews 2 we read, but one testified in a certain place saying, now the writer of Hebrews doesn't say who it was. We know because we've peeped and we've looked at the psalm and seen that it was a psalm of David. But not because the writer of Hebrews didn't know. They knew their Old Testament almost off by heart. So he would know who wrote this psalm. And whoever the writer was of Hebrews, whenever he's quoting from the Old Testament, and it happens several times through the book, he never says who it was who was saying the quote. And also we've got the reason, perhaps the same reason, why his name isn't attributed to the book of Hebrews. I believe it's to give emphasis that these words are from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter who the actual man who wrote the words with the pen was. They're God's word. And that's the important thing, isn't it? To give in emphasis to God, the inspirer of all scripture. see the greatness of God, first of all, before we think of the care. In Psalm 8, we read in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. I like looking at these pictures of NASA and the other ones, of just seeing the beauties of creation out there. You've got the nebulas, and you've got the different galaxies and the sizes of some of those galaxies and the planets and stars and all these things. Such beautiful pictures you can get online now. You know, I've been trying to copy some of them off, you know, downloading just to go through them as a picture show, just to see God's greatness. And every star varies from another star, doesn't it? How excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. The glory of God is far, far above anything we can look at out there in space. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. This God is a great God. He is so far above us. He is so holy and just. Yet, he cares for us and provides for his creation in wonderful ways. If man wasn't so greedy, there wouldn't be any need of food. There's enough food in this world to give everybody a decent meal if it was shared around. But we hear of farmers who would plough stuff back into the field rather than it going onto the market. There's enough food God has given for everybody to have. Hebrews 2:6. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? What is man? This study resulted in a conversation that Steve and I were having, and I was saying, I forget we got onto the subject, but we were talking about man. What is man? And I was saying, well, some say man is body, soul, and spirit. Some say man is only body and soul. And I said, we need someone to come and give us a study on what man is. And so in the end, I got around to doing it. And so I just want to take those three words for a moment and make them into a question. What is man? In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Not just Adam, Eve as well was created in the image of God. God is three persons. The Holy Trinity is clearly set forth in Paul's close of the benediction of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I had to do a lot of reading. The message took me a lot longer than I thought it would. Starting to sweat today because I realised the time was getting a bit short to get the message finished in. And there's lots of ideas. Some say man is only made up of two parts, body and soul. Those people are called bipartite. And others, man is made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And they're called tripartite. And some are just tight. But I've come to be a tripartite person, rather just tight. Body, soul, and spirit. And the more you study the New Testament, I believe you've got to accept that we are three parts in us. So first of all, you've got the body. Now that's the easiest part to explain. You know, we've all got one, thankfully, here tonight. And it touches the material world around us through our five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Then we've all got a soul. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul is the real me on the inside, where I have my imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. And then the spirit. This seems to be linked to our soul. And before man fell into sin, the spirit, or our spirit, was illuminated from heaven. Adam and Eve enjoyed walking with God and knowing God. That was in reality, but also in their spirit. But sin came, and sin closed the window of man's spirit. The chamber of the soul became dead. And I think I can see that's why some people, I believe, make the mistake of saying the soul is the same as the spirit. But scripture does seem to give us the three. So the spirit, our spirit, remains dead in every unregenerated heart until the life of the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and then floods our body in light again, or floods the spirit in light again. So yeah, we're three, we've got the spirit, but the spirit is dead until we come to the Lord, and then that spirit is revived at salvation. Job 32 verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. John 3 verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And it was in Nicodemus's spirit that he needed to be born again. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. There are many, many more. If you want to do a study, take yourself 3 or 4 days and you can have a good study on it. Soon look up all the references. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we are: body, soul, and spirit. So let's get back to Hebrews 2, verse 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? The AV says, the son of man that thou visitest him. I've looked up the word visit. It means look toward man with a view to benefit him, or look upon man in order to help and care for him. So you can have your visitist him, if you like that word, but it all means God just looked at us and wanted to benefit and bless us and help us. Although God is so great, so far above us, the Bible tells us how much he cares for man. Yes, sinful, weak, lost, helpless, rebellious man. The greatest thing that God did for us was to send his son to die for us, wasn't it? So now, what Christ has done for us, and then linking on in that same thing, heading, what Christ has won for us. First of all, what he has done for us. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. First of all, what humility. Who was made a little lower than the angels. We were made a little lower than the angels. He became like us humans in every way, without sin. His humility, his suffering, what suffering he endured for the suffering of death. I know it's just summed up in 5 words, but oh, we know all the sufferings the Lord endured for us, all that he had to go through, and he willingly went through all those things for us. What humility, what suffering, what grace. That he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one. That was grace, wasn't it? To leave the glory of heaven, to come down into this sin-sick world for us. What Christ has done for us. But also there we look at what Christ has won for us. He is crowned with glory and honor. He gained the victory. John 12:31 tells us, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Revelation 11:15, still thinking of what Christ has won. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. If Christ had not come and suffered and endured everything he had to, he could not have won those things. And those things we've just looked at could not be said of him. He's won that great victory. So now, what man is going to gain? We've already thought of what man lost. Hebrews 2:6. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. A man lost all that because of sin. But we praise God, this is not lost forever. Verse 7, you have made him lower than the angels. And the Greek means, you have made him for a little time lower than the angels. Verse 8, but now we do not yet see all things put under him. Not yet. But a time is coming when man will be prince again on this earth. He will regain, not in any strength of his own, but in the Savior's strength, he will regain everything he once lost. When the Savior comes again, the Christian will gain more than Adam and Eve lost. Is that him, Jesus shall reign. And the only verse they've left out, I just looked at in the mission praise, is the very one I wanted to quote from. where he displays his healing power. Death and the curse are known no more. In him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. We gain more in Christ than Adam and Eve lost or once had to lose in the first place. The Bible assures us we are going to reign with Christ. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then we are going to see all things put under, restored, and perfected in mankind as we reign with King Jesus. And the devil is going to be hid out of the way in that bottomless pit for all that 1,000-year time. The whole earth is at present waiting for this new kingdom to come into power. The whole of creation is longing and waiting. It's been put under the curse, and it's been waiting for man to become prince again when the Saviour comes into this earth scene. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body at the Lord's coming. Revelation 5:9. Speaking of the Lord, you are worthy, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and we have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And the changes of this new kingdom, where we are reigning, men will be changed. Isaiah 2, verse 4. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Man will be changed. Nature is going to be changed. Isaiah 11:6-9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Just like the first creation God had made. The wilderness shall be refreshed. Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. In our verse here in Hebrews 2, verse 8. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, man. But we're going to see it soon. One day, when the Saviour comes again, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Our Lord, we ask the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? O Lord, we thank you that you are this great, awesome God, a God to be truly feared, a God who is so powerful, so big and mighty. And yet, Lord, you look upon us, you think of us, you consider us. You sent your Son to die, to suffer, to do everything that was needed to save us. And we thank you, Lord, for your eternal purposes, that one day man is going to reign with your Son here upon this very earth, and we will see this whole creation changed and brought in subjection to you, and the evil one cast out. O Lord, we would say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until that day come, may we be faithful to you, serving you, doing all we can for you whilst we have opportunity. Bless each one of us. We thank you again for your word and our time together. In the Saviour's precious name, amen.